Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is trumpeter and composer Dave Douglas. He's an exciting player whose music is constantly evolving as he searches for new and different ways to express himself. The result is a surprising mix of clarity, logic, and sometimes whimsical ideas. That's all true, isn't it, Dave?
Well, gosh.
And much more.
Thank you.
I don't know. It's amazing. It seems to me that you sort of made a meteor-like rise onto the jazz scene a few years, not that long ago, really, 2 or 3 years ago.
Well, I've had the good fortune to work with a lot of great independent record labels that have let me produce my own music. So over the last, I'd say, 7 or 8 years, I've made 15 records with different ensembles, and I feel blessed to have been able to kind of do that my own way and get it out there.
Well, and not only that, you've done, it has been like a one-style group. You've had all these different groups, like you're experimenting with violin and all kinds of other instruments and Balkan music. And I mean, it's amazing. And they're all good, each in their own way. But they're all an expression of what you're trying to do, is to do something really original, I guess.
Yeah, they're all different aspects of what I'm hearing in music, and part of what is so exciting about having those groups is that the players are available here in New York. That what inspires me is hearing exciting young players and sharing the bandstand with them and getting to compose for them. So each of these groups is a chance for me to write for different favorite musicians of mine.
I saw in something I read you had Don Byron was one of your people you worked with. I love him.
I think he's
fantastic. But now I got really excited when I heard about this recording that you made with a lot of the music of Mary Lou Williams. You must have heard a lot of the music of Mary Lou somewhere.
Yeah, I actually I first heard her name in 87 when I was working with Horace Silver. He talked about her quite a bit, and it took me, I guess, about 10 years to actually heed the the advice. And it was when I heard the Zodiac Suite, actually, her piano trio version, that I felt, you know, here's this really important, somewhat overlooked figure in the 20th century jazz music tradition.
Yeah.
And I started researching, and I found pretty much every recording I could that was available in the marketplace and started transcribing things. And the more I looked, the more excited I got about how pioneering she was.
Well, you know, it's so wonderful that you're doing this because Mary Lou, to a great degree, has been overlooked. Even when she was alive, she didn't really do all the things she should have done.
Mm-hmm.
Although she was somebody, what I loved about her playing was that she always was on the edge. She never sat back and said, well, that's it, I've done that. She was always experimenting. And I guess that's what you liked about her, too.
I think that's a big inspiration for me, is that right from the teens up until 81 when she passed away, she really was never sitting back and resting.
No.
She was always on the front, the cutting edge of the music.
Well, you know what would be fun if we could maybe do one of her tunes as a duet? What do you think?
I think that'd be great.
Well, I always thought one of her prettiest tunes, although it was sort of short tune, was one called Cloudy. So maybe we could do that. What do you think?
That would be fun.
Okay. Thank you. You know, it never ceases to amaze me that two people that can just get together and play something right off the bat. I think it's wonderful. You know, we don't have to sit down in Woodshed for 10 hours. Just sit there and play.
Well, her music is built to play, too. Like a piece like that is just a joy to...
It is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I have no idea when Mary Lou wrote that thing. I mean, she wrote so many things when she was like about 15 or 16. Or some mm-hmm. You probably mm-hmm. heard some of the things she did with Andy Kirk and the band.
Absolutely, yeah. And with Far Terrell, the singer.
Yeah.
Who I guess was a big hit at the time.
Yeah, and some of them... Well, you've really researched Mary Lou. I mean, actually, what with the book on Mary Lou that came out and by Linda Dahl, and she wrote your liner notes for for your record. I think that's just terrific. So, but something, you know, I don't even know. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Montclair, New Jersey.
Oh.
Which is right near the city. So I've always been a New Yorker in one way or another.
Boy, you really don't have a Jersey accent, thank God.
I'm working on my Brooklyn accent.
Oh, man. Well, how did you get started playing? Was it a musical family?
Everyone in my family, I'm the youngest of four, and everyone was playing a different instrument in the family. And I think that's something that's a little bit lost, unfortunately, now. But in elementary school, we were all given instruments to play, and I played in the band and the orchestra from a very small age, and heard music around the house. I heard my father had the Smithsonian collection of classic jazz, which I went through from start to finish when I was very small.
Pretty nice.
So I was exposed to Billie Holiday and Coleman Hawkins, as well as Cecil Taylor and Ornette Coleman and Thelonious Monk and Miles Davis. And of course, my older sisters were listening to Stevie Wonder and the Beatles, and there was also classical music around. So it was really just from listening to music that I got the bug.
Well, you've got such fantastic technique, or chops, I should say. Did you start out classically trained, or, I mean, did you have a teacher?
I did. I was classical training until I was probably 14 or 15, but I never felt like I would be able to be a classical player because I would, as soon as I memorized the piece, I would close my eyes and just change the notes as I saw fit. I could never play the thing the same twice in a row.
So obviously a dedicated jazz person.
I think so.
Already
actually,
at 14.
It's interesting because Mal Waldron, the great pianist, made a Music Minus One record probably in the 60s, which found its way into my house. And I think when I was 10 or 11, I would just drop the needle and just play along with my eyes closed. And
that
was
pretty
my first...
far out, Music Minus One. That would be pretty interesting
to start with. Well,
I
have thanked Mal for doing that.
I'll bet you have. Well, now we have a wonderful bassist to add to the scene, James Genus on bass. We could do a trio tune. Maybe we could do another Mary Lou tune. What do you think?
Fantastic, yeah.
Scratching in the Gravel. I don't know where she gets these titles.
But this one goes way back, right? Isn't this from this is probably from the Andy Kirk period of the
30s? It could be. I don't, at one point in the, she came to our house for dinner, Jimmy and myself, and she wrote out this tune for me, and I still have it. But she wrote it in pencil. I think I'm going to have to frame it before it fades away. But it's a nice, simple, swinging kind of tune. So what do you say?
Let's do it. Thank you.
Boy, I thought that had a really nice feeling to it.
Yeah, it's a great piece.
It's nice funny, one. Like, with you, you're sort of a chameleon because you can play that sort of what I think of as, like, middle-of-the-road, down-to-earth, bluesy feeling, and then you can go off and do something really wild. It's nice to have that much facility and that much ingenuity.
Well, it seemed like you, in your solo on that piece, you went there yourself, so...
I was trying to keep up with you.
Well, it's all music.
It is all music, but it's funny. I think, for my part, I sort of tend to do... or sort of be in the style where the guest is. But anyway, back to you. I mean, how did you get started playing? Like, what was your first gig? Did you play somewhere in New Jersey?
No, it's a funny story, actually. My first gig was when I was a school year abroad student in Barcelona.
Oh, how nice.
And I was, I guess, 14 or 15, and... it was a repertoire of Tin Pan Alley standards and salsa tunes and flamenco numbers and Jobim bossa novas.
Oh my God.
And Thelonious Monk tunes.
Was it a big band?
No, it was like a sextet. I just happened to fall in with some musicians who were my age that were into all kinds of music. This was in a small suburb outside of Barcelona.
Well, how did you get there? I mean, was it an exchange student?
It was
thing?
An exchange program, and I was with a Catalan family. In Badalona, Spain.
My goodness.
And, yeah, interesting. You know, you grow up right near New York, and then you end up playing your first gig in this place so far away.
Well, but, I mean, you had to have yourself together to do that kind of a gig and know all those tunes.
Well, I don't know if I had myself together, but I think as an American, I had an advantage that they all assumed that I had myself together.
So oh, yeah, you're an American, you must be a good player.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, well, it definitely all worked out. I mean, what a wonderful bunch of different composers to learn their music. I mean, Jobim, mm-hmm. Wow, mm-hmm. And Monk, too.
It's actually, I don't know if you know Jorge Rossi, the drummer for Brad Meldow's trio.
Just by actually. Name, and I think I heard them on the air, but I have not met him.
Fantastic drummer, and actually he's my age, and he was in Barcelona at that time, so we played together when we were 15 years old.
Well, that's great. I mean, it's getting that more musicians are sort of mixing together from different countries, and it's sort of getting to be more of a big melting pot than it
Absolutely.
Was before. That's great.
And I think it's good for the music, because it brings in a lot of different viewpoints.
That's true. Well, we'll have more talk and music in a minute, but first I want to let you know that my guest is Dave Douglas with bassist James Genus. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz, made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. I'd like to talk a little bit more about Mary Lou, because you incorporated so many of her things, her tunes, into your new record. What is that called, by the way? Soul?
It's called Soul on Soul.
Soul on Soul.
It's how Duke Ellington described her.
Oh, really?
There's a great Duke Ellington quote where he talks about how perpetually contemporary Mary Lou Williams is, and he describes her as being soul on soul.
Boy, he really knew how to... use the English language, didn't
mm-hmm.
he?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic guy. Well, this, I remember her playing this when I heard her one time at the cookery. And I mean, I forget who wrote this, My Blue Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you do? You took it and changed it around a little.
Well, first of all, she took it and changed it around in 63. After she had come back from, I think she dropped out of music for about 7 or 8 years.
Yes, she did.
And she came back and had this wonderful band with Percy Heath and Tim Kennedy. And she recorded My Blue Heaven, but she had changed the chords of the piece and also the feeling of the piece. And so, inspired by that, I took the changes she had made and then added my own changes on top of them. So I call this piece Blue Heaven.
Oh, I'd love to hear it. And you and James are going to play this as a duo.
Okay.
Terrific. Well, I see what you did with that, Dave. It's very clever the way you changed the tune around, and that's the same bass line, kind of the same idea I always heard her play.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah. She's the clever one.
Well, you both are. I think I read somewhere that you sort of are really striving to do something that hasn't been done. Like, is that something you think about?
Yeah, I do, absolutely. Because I feel like, especially in this music, the goal should be finding your own voice and not trying
That's
to
true.
Recreate someone else's music. So I find that if I'm recording myself or if I'm composing, and it sounds too much like one of my heroes, and, you know, we all have plenty of them, I just feel like it's wrong. I'm not comfortable with it. So a lot of what I'm doing in music is trying to find a new way to go that's not going to sound like what someone else did. And I think that I've gotten a lot from thinking about freedom in this music and the different ways that it can function. And I think that in studying Mary Lou Williams for the making of Soul on Soul, she was also involved in a lot of different eras in music, including free jazz. And that's something that I think was part of what I was thinking about when I wrote my music for Mary Lou Williams.
Well, when I made the record that I made, which I know you've heard of some of her things, I thought it would be nice to include one of my own or sort of like a tribute to her. And so I wrote this piece, which I called Threnody, which is sort of a fancy word for melancholy or sad. And so maybe James Genus and I could play this one for you.
I'd love to hear it.
Okay.
Wow, that was great. So what do you call that piece?
Threnody. I'm sort of a word snob, and you know, I get tired of saying melancholia or sad or something. So
it's a lament, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
like really what it is.
Yeah.
So I thought that would be a good title. Anyway, we've got a lot more music to come, but right now I want to remind you that my guest is Dave Douglas with bassist James Genus. I'm Marian McPartland. This is Piano Jazz, which is made possible in part by the Baldwin Piano Company. here's a nice blues that we could, or it's mostly a blues written by Mary Lou, and she has one of her exotic titles again. What's Your Story, Morning Glory? I bet we would sound nice doing that. It's kind of a slow tune. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Let's try it.
Okay. That felt so nice. You know, I love to play in D-flat. You probably have a great idea about what keys you like to play in. Do you have special keys?
Interesting that so many of Mary Lou Williams's pieces are in D-flat, isn't it?
It is. I think she must have had a real feeling for that key. It's funny, I never asked her about that either. I probably should have, because
it's a distinctive sounding key. I mean, it distinguishes the music from a lot of her, you know, normal jazz pieces tend to be in B flat or E flat or, you know, keys that lay well on horns. And but that's such a classic piece. The one that we just played, What's Your Story, Morning Glory, is kind of like an anthem for the, I don't know, maybe the pre-war era in jazz, it seems to me.
Well, and it'll always be around because it's just such a mellow kind of a piece, and there's so much you can do with it. I mean, you can be real slow, or if you really feel like doubling it up, you can, and you can do a blues section in the middle and not play those melody different changes that she has. But then that's true of all her things. I mean, they lend themselves to whoever's playing them. I mean, like, you did one on your record that I'm not that familiar with, actually. Play It, Mama. Mm-hmm. Where did you hear that one?
It's on a record she made in 74 called Zoning.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of almost a funk record, you know. I hate to say fusion because it's such a dirty word these days, but...
is it? Oh, I didn't
she you know, there's some really funky grooves, that some of which came from her liturgical music that she was writing. She was writing masses that had kind of funky grooves to them. And Father Peter O'Brien, who was her manager the last 15 years of her life, told me that the title of this piece came when she was performing for a bunch of school children. And there was a very small boy in the back of the room who, while she was playing this piece, yelled out, "Play it, Mama!"
How cute. Yeah. And she would love that.
Well, she kept the title, yeah.
Well, boy, you're going to be able to do the way you're going. You're going to be able to go out and lecture on the life of Mary Lou. You've done so much research. It's incredible.
Well, I mainly listen to the music, and now that this biography has been published, I'm realizing how much I didn't know. That's fascinating, not only about her life, but that about the century of music and the way people were treated and what they had to go through to do what they did.
Yeah, well, your timing is really right on. So, well, let's play It, Mama.
All right.
It's funny, Mary Lou loved those simple little, like, what would you call them? Like a, almost a Latin figure sometime.
They're kind of, yeah, like gospel or maybe vamp tunes would be the way
like
to say
it. It would be like a vamp till ready kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah. And she loved doing those. And she, I mean, there's another one that I used to do, Cool Bongo.
Cool Bongo, I heard that on your record.
I mean, she loved doing those things. She would just stop that and then, and you know, whoever was around would fall in. And anyway, I want to remind folks that my guest is Dave Douglas with bassist James Genus. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz, which is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz. Well, you know what I would love to do, which I'm sure we can all agree on? Just like a totally free piece.
Oh, that would be
no
great.
No rules.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that would be fantastic. No rules at all?
No.
Okay.
I think that felt good.
Yeah.
It had a nice melody to it as well.
It's kind of instant composition, though, in a sense. I mean, people think of free playing sometimes like something that has to be avant-garde or crazy or whatever, and I think free playing can be like what we just made a whole composition with melody and
we did
harmony and everything.
And I mean, I should explain to some people wonder what we're doing, that actually while you're doing it, you, or at least I am listening to what you're doing, so that I can either play something that goes with it or stay out of your way.
Play something that goes against it.
Yeah, play something. Right. Gee, we've only got one more tune. Let's see. Before we do that, I'd just like to ask you what's in your head, like for the future, dreams and ideas for what you're going to do that you haven't done yet.
Wow. Well, you know, I think there's a lot of new places to go in this music that are just beginning to develop, you know, new contexts for using improvisation, for example. I have a group that I call Charms of the Night Sky, which is trumpet with violin, accordion, and bass. We have made one record together, but we just finished recording another one that it will be coming out on RCA Victor. And I feel like it's in new group. I see this sprouting up all over the place. Ensembles with unusual instrumentations and composers exploring the use of improvisation in very novel ways.
It's funny because years ago, you know, somebody would laugh if you said, "Oh, I'm going to have an accordion in my group."
Well, people still do laugh, believe
it or not. Do they? But nevertheless, there are some wonderful accordion players.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the accordion can be a terrific instrument. So I'd be dying to hear that record. But then do you arrange things for that? You don't do too much improvising for that group.
Well, we do, but in a kind of a different way. Like I write compositions that feature a certain soloist, or that are through compositions on a certain level, but there may be free improvisation as part of the form of the composition, things like that.
Oh, I can't wait to hear all that. That's got to be very interesting to hear. So you've got a lot of projects. You're not standing still for a minute.
Well, I guess not. I wish I could.
No, you're too young and got too many great ideas. I just wish you success with all that you're doing, you know, from what I've heard already to things that I'm looking forward to hearing.
Well, thank you so much, and it's been such a pleasure to play music with you today and
show. Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. Well, here's a tune that everybody plays, and I guess we might do our own thing on this. I hear a rhapsody.
Mm-hmm.
I never can think who wrote this. It's about four guys' name on the... will probably call up and tell me. But anyway, it's a good tune to play on, and we can just finish up the show with this. But again, thank you for being here, and I've just had a ball playing with you and James.
Oh, thank you so much.
So, let's play. Thank you. that was nice.
It's fun.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland and her guest Dave Douglas, with James Zenas on bass. Join us each week at this time for an hour of conversation and improvisation with Marian McPartland and her guests. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Richard Applegate, mastering engineer David Mitchell, production coordinator Audrey Shiflett, executive producer Elaine Freeman. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. You can learn more about the artists and music selections on Piano Jazz by visiting our website, pianojazz.npr.org. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the Friends of Piano Jazz, NPR member stations, and NPR. Support for the original production of this episode was provided by the National Endowment for the Arts, Artworks, Borders Books and Music, and the Joseph Drown Foundation. Support for NPR comes from NPR contributors, which include the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org, and the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to a vigorous presence for poetry in American culture, poetryfoundation.org. This is NPR.